Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Well, happy to you, too. Happy Wednesday. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. So I want to get started right away with the gold and silver markets today. I was asked, yesterday what I would predict for gold today. And I was pretty much correct. We had a little pressure on gold, $3 at $14.75 today. We have silver. It was hit a little bit harder, almost 2%, down 34 cents at 16.90. You have platinum was down 14 at 8.99, but palladium managed to be up 15 at 18.78. And, of course, all eyes were over in London with the NATO meeting and all the silliness and everything that's coming out of that. And we have the USDX today was down 0.12 at 97.62. Crude oil was up big again today, up to 228 at 58.38. And excuse me, and the market prices today, they surged from the beginning of the day. Because I guess President Trump reversed his statement yesterday from saying that the trade agreement with China might not be completed until after the election, which we saw the stock market plummet. And today it was, the negotiations are doing really well. And so we had the Dow up 162 points, 27,664. The NASDAQ was up 46. 85.66. The S&P was up 20 at 3,112. 10-year yield today was 1.78%, up 0.07. Euro was holding 111. Hong Kong was down 1.25% overnight. Japan was down a little over 1%. I thought I saw today where the Japan approved the trade agreement with the U.S. Germany was up a little over 1% overnight. The fear and greed index, remember it was just, 2 weeks ago that it was like 87 and closing in on 90. Well, now we're down to 67. It just goes to show you the volatility. And that's what that's all about. No one really knows. It's still an emotional trade in these markets. And absolutely, the algorithms do have something to do with this day-to-day China trade on, China trade off deal. But we can talk a little bit more about this in the second and third segments of the program today. But first, we have for this segment, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
I think we lost Dave.
We lost Dave.
So maybe Todd can pick him up.
Pick him up there, Todd. Well, I thought we'd talk about the crystallized supplements. People are not connecting the dots on some of these newfangled ads you're seeing, and I thought we'd do ginger. And they kind of think that it's the same as crystallized ginger, but the process is entirely different. So for a food that is candied, it usually is stored in a syrup. And a food that's crystallized is usually cooked in a syrup and or microwaved to be crystallized. So when a food is microwaved, the food particles vibrate, it causes friction, and the food heats up. And a lot of fluids can evaporate from all the heat. So the food is radiated to the extent in a microwave process that the nutrients tend to be lost, and we're going to talk about that. So we're going to look at the supplements, especially some that you see on TV recently, that may be in the form of crystals. But what does that mean? for health, and is it really, you know, fortifying your system? So we've got heat sensitivity when we have foods and we have herbs. Foods in general are heat sensitive, and this is the kind of heat that also affects how much nutrition will remain in the foods after they're cooked, steamed, baked. Now, steamed vegetables seem to retain more nutrition than the boiled or the baked variety. So the nutrients that are first to be lost tend to be your vitamin C, your thiamine, your B1, your pantothenic acid, your B5, and your folate, B9. Is that Dave?
Yes.
Dave, you're stomping about.
Hey.
We hear you.
Anyway, okay. So some believe, you know, radiant heat, you know, cooking your food conventionally helps protect some of the flavor and nutrition in your food better than if you microwave cooked. So others feel, hey, radiation really doesn't harm the nutrition in your foods. You know, how many times have you heard people say, I'm going to nuke my lunch? They're going to put it in the microwave, heat it up. But what they're doing is they're cooking with electromagnetic radiation. Now, we've heard about smart meters being electromagnetic, and we've heard about all this other technology, Wi-Fi and all this, being electromagnetic. Nobody seems to think that your microwave is also electromagnetic. What do you think of that?
Pretty interesting.
I know. So the microwave is a convenient way to heat food or water, but it really is using electromagnetic radiation to prepare your food. So the pros and the cons to using your microwave is kind of a lengthy one. And the cell phones, the modems, the routers, the smart meters, the Wi-Fi, all the smart technology is being used in our everyday appliances. So we're getting an accumulation of this. An accumulation factor of electromagnetic radiation is really in all our daily lives at this point. Let me read you this quote from a scientist by the name of Chris Gunnar. He wrote an article for Healthline February 15, 2019. And he said, microwave ovens produce non-ionizing radiation, which is similar to the radiation from your cell phone, though much stronger, end of quote. Can you imagine that? Mm. So we're often hearing not all the radiation's bad for us. That's what we often hear. And then we're told, hey, don't press your face against that glass on that microwave oven when it's operating. Stand at least 12 inches away because radiation decreases with distance. And we're warned not to use a microwave, especially if the door seal is damaged. It's not sealing well. Well, what about the poor food? It can't distance itself. It's in that microwave. It's vibrating. It's heating up, and it's being changed chemically. Okay. Let's talk about two studies that I just came across. Now, this was a study that was conducted by Pennsylvania State University Nutrition Department. They placed our lovely garlic in the microwave, and they wanted to test it to see if any of the antioxidant nutrients and the anti-cancer nutrients in garlic got affected. Here's what they stated, and this was also in the journal, the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, March 2001. They said, in just 1 minute of microwaving, it destroyed the cancer-fighting compounds of garlic compared to 45 minutes with conventional cooking methods, end of quote. Wow. Think about that. So microwaving, let's say your garlic, inactivates the amylase, which is destroyed in your sulfur compounds, which tend to inhibit or stop carcinogen activity in your body. So you lose all that protection when you microwave your garlic. So don't put the spaghetti in there, leftover spaghetti, to heat it up. There was another study now at the Journal of Science of Food and Agriculture. They published some findings that when broccoli is microwaved, it negatively affects the nutritional flavonoids. It destroys them by 97%. So these are antioxidants. Flavonoids are antioxidants, and they help us stay healthy and cancer-free. They also compared boiled broccoli to the microwave version, and it reduced the flavonoids when they boiled it by 66%.
Wow.
So temperature and length of cooking is also going to affect the outcome and how much nutrition and foods remain or don't remain. And they concluded that when you microwave foods, it degrades them. So they caution people, never microwave milk. How many times have you heard people put milk in a microwave to make hot chocolate? Or they take cold milk, dump that little pouch of chocolate mix in, stir it up, put it in the microwave. Yeah. Well, I know. Well, Journal of Science and Food Agriculture, those folks said they never microwave milk because it removes all the antibacterial properties that remain in processed milk. So, never do that. Well, let's get to this newfangled supplement, the crystallized supplement. They're marketing this supplement in a way that deviates your attention away from radiation or EMF processing. So I mentioned crystallized foods and the microwaves because some of the new supplements are being marketed as made with new patented light wave technology. So what that means is electromagnetic radiation processing or microwaving the supplement. That's what they're doing. So one product that is marketed this way is the Super Beet crystals. Have you seen the ads for that on TV?
I have, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, so these crystals look red like beets, and they're flavored. They supposedly taste real good when you add them to water. So the microwave is used in a process to process the beets, and it reduces the phytonutrients, the minerals, the vitamins, amino acids, antioxidants, and proteins that naturally you find in beets. So according to health experts that examine the Super Beets product, they said this, quote, beets in whole food form contain your vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients. However, when companies try to turn these beets into beet juice powders, they may also be adding artificial flavors, guar gum, malic acid, magnesium ascorbate, and stevia extract. And the problem is that all these ingredients contain report adverse side effects and should never be found in beet juice powder or any health or wellness product for that matter. For instance, they said the malic and the citric acids are a flavor enhancer and give the Super Beets a tart taste, and the magnesium ascorbate will make the beet crystals fizz when they're added to water. So it's almost like, I guess, drinking a sweet tart.
You know?
I know.
But so, they do list those on the ingredients, don't they? Or have they found a way to avoid that?
Oh, no, they're listed there. I mean, you can find them on the label for the beet crystals, the Super Beet crystals. So they're absolutely correct, though, what they're saying, because real whole food beets, when they're juiced raw, have a type of metallic taste because they're so rich in minerals. So a container of Super Beets is going to cost you about $50. And it's not going to contain anywhere near the nutrition in real beets when they're done, you know, crystallizing or microwaving it. So the marketing of your Super Beets kind of reminds me of investor groups. They are cashing in on a marketing trend out there. Beets are real, real powerful. And people who have blood issues, mm-hmm. you know, leukemia and things like that, beets, they feed the mineral content to the bones that manufacture your blood. So you can actually rebuild a blood system in 24 hours drinking fresh beet juice. So, I mean, you can watch your doctor's head spin around like Linda Blair when he looks at your blood results because they're going to be amazing. You know, they are. I've had account after account of people saying the doctor thought I had a blood transfusion, or the doctor didn't believe that I just drank beet juice and it did that. You know.
Wow.
So,
I believe Dave is back again.
I love beet juice.
Beet juice is an amazing thing. Now, you can, since it's kind of, like I said, metallic-y, if you juice it raw, so you don't cook the beets, you juice them raw, and you can add it to, like, other vegetable juice, like V8, for instance, or you can cut it with another type of juice, like carrot juice or something. But typically, it's just an amazing thing, because if you don't have enough iron, and that you get a lot of iron in beets, your blood won't hold onto oxygen well, and it won't be able to deliver oxygen rich nutrition to the cells, and that's why a lot of people are fatigued, anemic, and that kind of thing. So beets, who knew, right?
Wow. I'm glad I like them.
Simple. Well, now when you cook them or pickle them, you know, pickled beets are cooked too. It diminishes that value a bit. So mm-hmm. if you need the live enzyme from the raw beet juice, now I know it's messy. Beets stain things. you know? So I get that. You know, they have fantastic health benefits, but they are what they are when you have to juice them. And so if you don't want to juice beets, but you do want to rebuild your blood system, or you just want to get some of the live nutrients from them, now the next best thing is powdered beets. Now, we're not talking about microwaved beets. We're talking about people that powdered, dried the beets properly, naturally, you know, without any artificial heat. They let them dry out, and then they powdered them. And you have to powder them very carefully, because you don't want to, if you powder any kind of food source or herb too long, it burns it and it turns it brown. So whenever you look at something that's supposed to have vibrant color to it in a powder and it doesn't, it means they powdered it too long. Yeah, so, you know, if you have, like, greens, they're supposed to be powdered. They're supposed to be really bright green, really amazing greens. Or, like, your beets should be really nice and red, not a rusty red. You know what I mean? They should be really bright red. So what we do at Apothecary is we take that dried beet powder and we put it in the body food mix. And so it's the next best thing if you don't want to juice them.
Yep. Wow. That's great stuff. Tell the listeners how they can test it, get some, and how they can contact you.
Yeah, you just put a scoop in juice, water, or smoothie, and off you go. They can call toll-free at 866-229-3663. It's the Body Foundation Food Mix. Visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. It's on there, too. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Thank you, Wendy. A lot of great information there. Beets is great for you. I love them. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. This must be the week for audio problems, technology problems. We got Dave on, and hopefully his system will stay up. We had problems with Butch Paul's audio. And so, yeah, must be something in the world of internet lines. But you know what, Dave? Even when areas have been having bad weather, I think that has a degree of what they do to some of the lines. And what happens, and I was told when they hooked up my Comcast, what happens, something could happen in Pennsylvania that would actually affect me here. And there has been several times in the past couple of years where, you know, Comcast might have a problem all across the country in various areas. So it's probably a much more complicated than I want to know about, but it certainly can wreak havoc when you're trying to do live broadcasts on worldwide radio. So want to thank the listeners for always being patient. It's again not our technology, but Comcast and Verizon and the bigger companies that always seem to have the issues. But you know, Dave, I want to run a little bit of a special today. Starting at December, it's going to be a short month with Christmas coming up, but we have a 90% silver, $25 face value. We have a quarter ounce. Usually I'll run this special with a 10th ounce. This particular special is with a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. This also includes all your shipping costs, $740. It's a really great deal. $25 face value, 90% silver, a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle, includes your shipping costs, $740. So give us a call. Carla's standing by to take your order, 1-800, or maybe she's sitting by, but 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And also visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And today, I was on an earlier program today with Beth on CSC Talk Radio. I almost forgot. She always forgets my phone number, so I guess I'm okay to forget her call line. But CSC Talk Radio with Beth, and we talked about the job growth. It was released today from ADP, and it showed that it crawled to, in November, it just crawled. It increased by just 67,000. It was well below the consensus of 150,000. And again, these aren't the government numbers. These are the pre-estimates from ADP and Moody Analytics. The big miss could call into question the relatively rosy estimates for Friday's closely watched non-farm payrolls. From the Labor Department, 187,000 is the current forecast. Now, this is supposed to have been boosted by the return of striking GM workers. November's tallies also have a sharp decline from the 121,000 in October, which was revised down from the initially reported 125. So that's not, you know, it's not too bad. So again, we see weakness, and particularly in the holidays. And Dave, this also shows me something else. You know, we're going to talk about the number of people that was out shopping, but how much all this shopping, a lot of it is being done online. Not healthy for any of the brick and mortar stores out there that usually relied on Friday, Black Friday, of people coming into the store to do shopping. You have manufacturers, commodity producers, you have retailers, they're shedding jobs. Job openings are beginning to decline. And if job growth slows any further, you're going to start seeing the unemployment increase.
Well, and there are also the good old tariffs, that U.S.-China trade war. Have you heard of that, ladies and gentlemen? That's being felt in the employment picture now as well. Weakness in manufacturing as well as the resources and commodities industries can be tied to the exchange of hundreds of billions in duties that both the U.S. and China have levied, with more possible later this month as negotiations drag on. Now, as for the job report, good producing industries lost 18,000 jobs. During the month, that decline came amid an even split from mining and natural resources, construction and manufacturing. Trade, transportation, and utilities, sector that often leads job creation, saw 15,000 loss. Information services also declined by 8,000. Melody.
Well, you know, they say that one bad month isn't a trend, but I think we've had, at least including this one, 3 months that were well below 100,000. I think there was one month was like, what, 29,000, and the other one was like, you know, 60 or 80, and now we have this one coming from the ADP. We'll have to wait and see what Friday is, but so maybe it's not month after month, but I think three of those months this year or within the last year is significant. And to me, that is a trend that's beginning to form. And we, you know, the service industry saw some solid job growth. Education, health services, 39,000. Leisure, hospitality, 18,000. I guess that's really about it to that report. Dave, anything else you'd want to add?
No, not really. Again, the consensus for the unemployment rate after the release of Friday's job figures from the government is expected to hold steady around an astounding 3.6%. I say astounding because we know that's grossly understated. But what can you do? It's the government's reporting. We'll just, when the figure does come out, we'll add to that any of our own insights about what we think the real number is. The more things change, Melody, the more they remain the same.
Absolutely. Well, we saw mortgage applications. They're down about 9%. And that could be part of the time of the year. You know, people are more concerned. They kind of give up looking for homes and so forth with the holidays approaching. Mortgage applications, they decreased a little over 9% from last week. Of course, this is a report that's put out weekly by the Mortgage Bankers Association. Refinance weakness caused the overall drop. Those applications fell 16% for the week, but they were still higher than from a year ago. That's, you know, due to the drop in the interest rates. Annual comparisons in this report, last week's reports, they're a little skewed, again, because Thanksgiving fell one... Did it fall 1 week earlier? Last year it fell 1 week earlier. That's
yes.
Correct. Yes. And so that's... Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Now, purchasing a new home increased 1% for the week, 24% lower annually. The refinance share of mortgage activity decreased to 59% of total applications. That was down from 62% the previous week. And the adjustable rate mortgage share of activity remained unchanged at 4.8% of all applications. Now, they're saying if rates stay low this week, as expected, refinance volume will likely recover and move higher again. The proof will be in the pudding that we serve next Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen.
We're hearing a lot about NATO lately, and certainly we have the World Trade Organization. I haven't really been following this story. I can imagine there's tons of lawsuits and everything going on from, you know, government to country to country with all the trade issues that are cropping up and agreements trying to be done. But there is talk of an internal war that's raging among the members, and the director of the WTO appellate body, who had begun airing some of their dirty laundry into public. Now, this is a panel that mediates disagreements between countries involving billions of dollars in international commerce. And I think a lot of these organizations should be reformed, because so many of them have started so long ago, things have changed. And of course, we have the President Trump has been trying to call for reform. In recent weeks, the chair of the appellate committee, Thomas Graham, has called for the removal of the division director, Werner Duke. Duke from Austria has become a lightning rod of criticism for the WTO's dispute settlement system, Dave.
Well, and that sparked Graham's colleagues to write a letter where they rejected allegations about Duke's competence and neutrality and pushed back on allegations that they supported Graham's call to remove Duke from office. Well, today a senior trade official sought to clarify the matter. The official said that Graham's colleagues did not share his desire to oust Duke. That's unless all 164 WTO member nations supported such a move, which they most certainly do not. Now, the official said members may consider Duke's removal in the context of a bigger package of reforms, but those conversations reportedly are still very preliminary. In the meantime, Director General Roberto Azevedo, thank you, says he has no plans to interfere with the work of the appellate body, which is supposed to be independent.
Well, I wasn't sure I was pronouncing Duke's name properly with it being spelled with a capital Z, D-O-U-C-S.
Yeah, I think that's...
Zudukes.
Well, you know, the crux about this, though, Melody, is that starting next week, the appellate body won't have enough active members to rule on new cases. It won't have a quorum that's required for that board to meet. So that means the world's trade referee will cease to function at the very moment when it's probably needed more than usual.
So that means everything is just put on the back burner? I mean, or do countries just take it into their own decision-making process and what needs to be done for their own country?
Yeah, the larger companies will take matters into their own hands. Some will work behind the scenes to, you know, get some of these vacancies filled. That's where I think we ought to be putting our energies at the same time we move ahead with pushing these reforms. It sounds like a pretty ugly situation in any event.
Well, you know, the old school is always going to resist change. So they want to keep doing things the same way, but the world has changed. And whether you agree with these organizations or not, they certainly need reform, I guess. And, you know, the same thing is with NATO. We had President Trump arrive in London yesterday for the two-day NATO leaders meeting. And, of course, the biggest complaint from President Trump is the alliances still aren't paying enough. And it does question, Dave, why aren't they? You know, they're all in this agreement to pay a certain amount, but they're not stepping up to the pump and paying the bill.
Well, the good news is most of them have increased their contributions. I mean, certainly Germany's been getting a lot of criticism for, you know, not stepping up as much as, you know, the commitment. But them, as well as most other member nations, have increased. But according to the latest figures from NATO, the U.S. spends about 3.4% of GDP on defense, while Germany now spends about 1.4%. Germany's increase is about an 11% increase from last year. So, in fact, Germany's only one of 19 NATO members that have not met the 2% GDP spending goal that was set in 2014. So, Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO secretary, said that by the end of next year, 2020, allies as a whole will have invested $130 billion more in the organization since 2016. So I guess, some would call that progress. Others would say, not enough. Just still not enough.
Well, I'd like to see the breakdown of where $130 billion goes.
Well, that's, $130 billion more.
$130 billion more, yes.
Yeah.
So what is the total amount? $500
billion? Yeah, I forget what the annual budget is.
Yeah, it would be nice to see their budget to see where actually everything goes and what happens. It certainly doesn't seem like they're in the negative or in the red. They're not going into debt, so it'd be kind of interesting to see how much is actually sitting there and where it goes. But, I mentioned earlier in the program, Dave, that Japan did approve the trade deal with the United States, their parliament. It opens the country's markets to American beef and other agricultural products. This comes as Tokyo tries to thwart a threat from Donald Trump to impose new tariffs on its lucrative car exports. The deal cleared a last hurdle with approval from Japan's upper house today. And, of course, the U.S. has been pressing for this agreement to come into force by January 1st. So, that will help President Trump land some votes for his 2020 reelection campaign, particularly in the agricultural areas that, might have been suffering a little bit from the soybean China trade deal. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's ruling Liberal Democratic Party coalition holds majorities in both houses of parliament, and, of course, it won passage easily. But, the deal has nevertheless been criticized by opposition leaders, of course, who say it gives away bargaining chips without a written guarantee that President Trump won't impose so-called national security tariffs as high as 25%. We're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you pick up a special or two here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Our special today is 90% silver, $25 face value, with a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, and includes shipping costs for $740. It's $740. It's a great little buy. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You can buy one of these packages or 100 of them. So give us a call. There's no limits on what you can purchase here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. You know, we saw a little bit of North Korea. I guess they're flexing their muscles once again. North Korea has repeated its assertions that this administration is running out of time to salvage nuclear negotiations, saying it's entirely up to the U.S. to choose what Christmas gift it gets from the North. Now, to me, that sounds more like a threat than trying to do some sort of, you know, open up the negotiating, coming to the negotiating table once again. The statement attributed to a senior diplomat came as North Korea continues to dial up pressure on both Washington and Seoul ahead of leader Kim Jong-un's end-of-the-year deadline for the U.S. to offer mutually acceptable terms for a deal. We've seen these negotiations faltered since almost a year ago in February, in that summit that was between Kim and President Trump had broken down. And of course, the U.S. has rejected the North Korean demands at that time for any type of broad sanctions relief in exchange for a partial surrender of its nuclear capabilities. So working level talks held in Sweden in October broke down over what the North Koreans described as the Americans' old stance and attitude.
Well, I find it comically ironic, don't you, that the North is playing Santa Claus in its not-so-veiled threats, if you ask me, as agreeing with what you suggested. Now, one of the North Korean vice foreign ministers who handles U.S. affairs accused Washington of repeating talk offers that are aimed at buying time without offering real solutions. Now, my own humble mind, any chance, I'm not sure that there was any intention on our part to move at a pace such that this deal would have been consummated by the end of this year anyway, and certainly the U.S. is not going to make it appear that they're kowtowing to the North. The official, the foreign minister, that is, official, reiterated earlier North Korean statements that the country has no intentions to continue the nuclear diplomacy unless it gets something substantial in return. Now, Kim has said he'd seek a new path if the U.S. persists with sanctions and pressure. What that is not completely known, but the North has tested a series of new solid fuel missile systems in recent months. Experts say they potentially expand the North's ability to strike targets farther into South Korea as well as Japan. North's also threatened to lift the self-imposed moratorium on nuclear and long-range missile tests and resume launches over Japan. That will certainly raise the ire of our Asian allies, Melody, which could result in some interesting responses.
Well, usually on Wednesday, we have a segment of the program called Brevity is Golden. And this is a kind of it's fascinating, exciting for this little boy, and also scary in my mind.
This is like straight out of a Netflix or Amazon Prime miniseries. Prodigal son. That's our topic today, ladies and gentlemen, Laurent Simons cradles his puppy in his arms. He looks like most other 9-year-old boys. Then he starts describing his work at a university in the Netherlands, where he's developing a computer circuit that will replace a part of the brain. A 9-year-old boy, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "What we are doing is placing neurons and making connections to see what the reaction is to medication in a part of the brain." And that's of this brain on chip project that he's, I hesitate to say overseeing, but intimately involved with, which combines the biomedical and electrical engineering fields. Now, the Belgian boy wonder is on track to become the world's youngest university graduate when he completes a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering at Eindhoven University of Technology next month. Laurent says, "I'm planning to start my PhD and study a little medicine, but before that, vacation," he said of his post-graduation plans, as a 9-week-old puppy Sammy dozed in his mother Lydia's arms. After completing high school in, yes, roughly 1 year, Laurent, who was born in Belgium but now lives in the Netherlands, started college and is set to finish the 3-year bachelor's program in just 9 months. Wow. Frightening indeed. Every professor is really enthusiastic about having Laurent. That's the program director at the university, who says, "For us, it's a unique situation because he's the youngest student we've ever had. The speed of his mind, we cannot imagine what is happening in his head. He's maybe 3 times smarter than the smartest student we've ever had." Well, so far, the youngest person to obtain a college degree is American Michael Kearney, who achieved that feat in June 1994 at the age of 10 years and 4 months.
I wonder what he's doing now.
Well, that's a good question, you know. We'll have to check on that and just report back. Well, move over, Michael. Here comes Laurent. Now, when he's not at the university, he walks the dog, plays video games, Minecraft, and Fortnite, and posts pictures on Instagram. Sounds like a normal kid otherwise. Laurent plans to research artificial organs and ultimately develop an entire artificial body in his own laboratory. So, crazy stuff. Offers flooding in from universities around the world for him to study his PhD at. And the U.S. West Coast, apparently, is a favorite destination at the moment. This one parent, his father, said what he's doing now is playing with education. Just playing around, and that's fine with us. Just playing around, huh? When I was 9, Melody, I was into playing around, too. Playing with my plastic army soldiers, playing hide-and-seek in the cherry trees in my backyard, and playing sports. But to each his or her own, right? And good for Laurent Simons and other prodigies around the world like him. We'll just go about doing our children and grandchildren's business. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
What amazing boy. And we will have to check on to see what that American Michael, see what he's doing now. If it can even be, you know, found out. He might be so deeply ingrained in Apple or, you know, some computer company that
We'll have to make sure that he gets information about gold and silver and other precious metal investing while he's still an impressionable young man. Mm-hmm.
Well, now here's an interesting. I'm not sure why you have this in today, but I'm going to say my part. It's an article about men being happiest when their wives earned 40% of income. Now, my view is, because of the weaker dollar, the fiat currency, I believe the woman should be at home. She shouldn't have to earn an income. You know, she should be at home raising the children and providing that home and, you know, so forth. But we can't do that anymore. Women can't do that because of the cost of inflation. It takes two people working in order to provide, you know, a family of four for most cases. So with this said, you'd also have to say there would be a lot of tension in a husband and wife, Dave, if the woman makes more than the man, or, you know, something that it's not equal and so forth. And I think maybe this is what this study has found. Now, this study was published last month. It looked at about 6,000 U.S. households over the course of 14 years. Couples were asked to measure distress in terms of feeling sad, nervous, restless, hopeless, worthless, or note that everything was an effort. The men in the study, on average, reported a higher level of psychological distress when they were the sole breadwinners of their households. Yeah, because those dollars just don't buy as much as they once did, and that would put a lot of stress on the sole breadwinner, likely due to the tension of shouldering all the financial responsibility. Their distress lessened as their wives began to earn money, making the lowest point of distress when the wife contributed 40% of the household income.
Yeah, but men's psychological distress begins to increase again as women begin to outpace them. That's according to the study's author, Dr. Joanna Cirta. Now, the highest level of psychological stress reported by men in this study came when they were economically dependent on their wives. The only outlier was for couples who, when they were getting married, the wife was already making more or more than half of the total income. Husbands who knowingly married a woman making a similar income or more than them did not suffer psychological distress. The results show that despite more women in the workplace, gender stereotypes are still intact when it comes to the division of labor for husbands and wives outside the household.
You know, and we can always face a gender pay gap in the workplace. Women earn about 80 cents for every dollar their male co-workers make. Almost 47% of U.S. workers are women. This is all according to the Department of Labor. In the 80s, in maybe 10% of households, the women made more than their husbands, and now it's basically 1 in 3 of American households where the woman makes the same amount of money or more. So these findings show that the perpetuating gender norms have not only a negative impact on women's careers, but also on men's mental health. So this can be a chronic condition if the wife earns more than him, and that can cause chronic stress. Well, you know, it's, and again, I'm really old school, ladies. I believe it's wonderful if a woman is working and wants a career, but it should be, she shouldn't be forced to have a career because the husband's income no longer can support a family of four like it once did because your dollar buys less. And that's what it always comes back to. That's what's put stress on the relationships. You keep working, we're working, working, and how hard is it to get ahead? Because every time you think you're getting ahead, so does inflation. So does the weakness of the dollar. So does your purchasing power become less. So,
I think what we'll do, you raise a very fascinating point. And it may be interesting to actually delve into the statistics and look at the rate of inflation. Yeah, since 71 anyway, since the gold standard, or may we do a before and after, and compare it to the divorce rate, the marriage rate, and other related issues, and see what we find. Inflation as a major causation factor of marital stress. Interesting, Melody. Making making national news, potentially.
Well, it is. I mean, it's, you know, women, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of women out there working that would prefer to stay home with their children.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, well, I mean, that's kind of the era that, you know, we were raised,
Latchkey kids.
Latchkey kids. Well, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. We have, and again, now we're looking at Americans that are dying young at an alarming rate. So to me, I believe all of this is, it all plays a part of it. You have death rates from suicide, drug overdoses, liver disease, and a dozen other causes that have been rising over the past decade or so for young and middle-aged adults. And that's driving down overall life expectancy, and we're going to be running out of time here, so we might be able to pick this up on Friday. You know, the life expectancy in the U.S. for three consecutive years is falling. We, you know, people look to us, so a wealthy nation is not necessarily a healthy nation. So, and I think we talked about this. Didn't we talk about this before, Dave? Or
yeah, and in another respect.
Well, let's bring this up because we can tie it to so many things. But what we have to tie it to right now is the end of the program. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget our special $740. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.